Hello and welcome to Indiana Hoedown. I'm Paul Tyler, and today I want to give you a look into the world of contest fiddling as we visit with some fiddle champs such as Harold Zimmerman, Ebert Mac McLean, and Gene Wilhite. Listen to the Mockingbird is one of those standard contest pieces. You just heard Mac McLean of Danville, Indiana fiddle it. It's a tune that lets fiddlers show off some fancy licks that impress judges, and the crowds always like to hear Listen to the Mockingbird. Fiddle contests are becoming a pretty big thing around Indiana these days. It seems like every year more and more organizations in more communities are advertising for fiddlers to come and compete for trophies and prize money at the contests they're putting on. Organizations that sponsor contests include groups like the Chamber of Commerce in Connersville that in 1980 held their first contest at their Connersville Founders Day, and they hope the contest will become an annual event. Or the Tri-State Gas Engine and Tractor Association that started one of the first modern contests in Portland, Indiana about 10 years ago, held at the association's annual reunion. It's become a very popular event, drawing in 8,000 people, and it's a much copied event. When I was there, I talked to some people in the crowd who had come up from the town of Frankfort wanting to see how the contest was organized because they were hoping to hold one at their own town's festival the next year. There's two things about fiddle contests that I want to point out. First of all, that is that there's more to a contest than trophies and prize money. Most fiddlers seem just to appreciate the chance to be able to play for an audience that had come to listen. And it's a matter of pride to play as well as you can at a contest. A good example of this is fiddler Harold Zimmerman, who we're going to visit with in a little bit. First and foremost, he loves fiddling, and he goes to a few contests, some major contests down south, such as Elizabethtown, Kentucky, or contests sponsored by the Tennessee Valley Old Time Fiddlers Association, for they give him a chance to play. The second point I want to make is that contests are growing in popularity today, but they're not a new thing. They've been going on since the turn of the century, I believe. In the 1920s and earlier than that, fiddle contests were seen in many areas as a way to help preserve old-time fiddle music, which some folks were afraid was dying out. In a little bit, you'll hear Harold Zimmerman tell how his grandfather traveled by train all over the Midwest to play in contests. As near as I can figure, this must have been sometime around the turn of the century or even a little before. I want to tell you first a little bit about Harold Zimmerman. He now lives in Fort Thomas, Kentucky, but he grew up in Convoy, Ohio, near the Indiana state line, and spent some years in Fort Wayne. His grandfather and many of the fiddlers he knew and learned tunes from lived in Adams County, Indiana, and in turn Harold Zimmerman taught some fiddling and some tunes to a younger fiddler from Adams County, a guy by the name of Francis Giles, who's been featured before on Indiana Hoedown. We'll start things off with a tune called The Jack of Diamonds. It's one that Harold said he used to play as a boy, and now today he's got a little more fancy version of it, which he uses at fiddle contests.
This tune is
Jack of Diamonds. Just a good old breakdown from down south. Best. A poem. It's A and D, and it's a very definitely Canadian or Irish flavor. I never heard it played any place. In fact, I never heard another tune played the same tempo, you know, exactly like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I know it about half right. I'll play that half.
Okay.
Favorite tune.
Yeah.
A lot of those tunes, they didn't know the name to them. I don't know the name. But they would say Charlie Hahn's best, and Isaac is best, and so forth. And Burt Baxter's best.
Those are all, those names you're...
they're old fiddlers.
From around Convoy?
Before my time.
Yeah.
I never knew them. Uh-huh. But Kenny Roth was really one of my favorites. Really the best old breakdown fiddle player up there. John Jones was had the most finesse. He was a finesse fiddle player. And Harley Sponseller, he was a good fiddle player. Played by note.
Yeah.
Very rare. He used gut strings and he was classy. Irish tunes. But he was darn good.
And these are, how far away from Convoy were these guys? Are they?
Well, I lived 5 miles from Convoy.
Were they all in general vicinity?
Really up around toward Decatur, Indiana, up in that area.
So a lot of these guys are lived across the state line in Indiana?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. In fact, my grandparents lived across the state line in Ellen County. My grandfather, that was George Nill, he was a great old-time fiddler. That's his fiddle, that middle one, hanging on the wall. And he was a blacksmith and a farmer up there. And he traveled around the country a lot in fiddle contests back in before 1910. And traveled, of course, by train in those days.
Yeah.
And they had a nice thing going whenever they would go hunting, a bunch of them, Gideons and so forth, would all get to the fiddling contest. And they'd take their guns with them. When the fiddling contest was over, they'd all head for the woods and big game hunting. And my grandfather's whole house was lined with deer heads, moose heads, elk heads, had bear skins on rugs, you know, on the floor. And just evidence of his hunting every place.
Where were most of the contests he went to? Down in the south? Or
Hot Springs, Arkansas.
Yeah.
And up around in the north, around many... Minneapolis, up in Minnesota, and in Pennsylvania, up in Detroit, Kansas City, I think, and places, quite a few. Hmm. Now, after he died, when I got the fiddle, I found some blue ribbons, but had no idea where they came from or anything like that. No printing, no story to go with them. But he was so big, he was 6'4", weighed about 240. He hung his fiddle down here on his chest, and he had a big red handlebar mustache. He wore felt boots, and he was a great personality, good fiddler.
You heard him fiddle. I mean, he was...
Oh, yes, he started me out, and out of about 40 or 50 grandchildren, I guess I was the only one that showed any interest, and he took a strong liking to me. He got me started, and then he didn't live very long after that.
Okay.
But... once you prime that pump, you just can't stop the handle, can you?
That's right.
Tune called Pine Tops.
That tune and the one before it were jigs, and like Harold said earlier, they probably came from Canada or Ireland. Jigs used to be required at contests in Indiana, though that's no longer the case. Up in Canada, though, if you go to a contest, the fiddlers have to play a jig. But today in Indiana, Southern-style fiddling is more dominant at contests, and jigs never caught on in the South. So today you'll hear tunes like Old Joe Clark and Sally Gooden and Boil Them Cabbage Down. The popularity of contests has changed fiddling in another important way in terms of style. The barn dance used to be the most important stage for a fiddler, and that required a good strong rhythm with a lift to the music to give the dancers the right feel or spirit. In contest fiddling, some of the older tunes that were well suited for dancing didn't work out as well for contests, where fancy fiddling seemed to catch the ear of the audience and of the judges. So in competition, it became important for fiddlers to put more into the music, and that usually meant more notes. Harold Zimmerman will give you now a little example of that. The first tune he'll play is an old tune called The Jump and Toothache. The first time through, he'll play the melody straight, and then the second time through, he'll put something into it that really wasn't in the melody. And also in this tune after that, one called The Michigan Pioneer, he'll play it the way he learned it, and then he'll play it with double stops, that is, playing two notes at once. And that seems to be the movement in contest fiddling today, to put in more notes. This is The Jump and Toothache?
That's a sweet, affectionate number.
Where?
Take you right out of your chair.
Where did you learn The Jump and Toothache?
From Kenny Roth up home.
Yeah.
As long as I can remember being around the neighborhood when I was a kid, Kenny would play this every night they got together, every time you'd fiddle. They used to be, they'd be playing in, mostly with a piano.
Mm-hmm.
Be a good piano second. Mm-hmm. And the fiddler play, and then the fiddlers would take turns, of course, playing their favorite tunes, you know. But every night, of course, us kids, we'd be out in the barnyard or out in the front yard or out around the cars or somewhere's out around. We'd be playing games like Two Deep and things like that. But you could always hear this music, you know, coming through. And I guess that's where it cracked my skull when I was just a kid, and I could hear that music, of course. These people were playing at, well, maybe 9 o'clock at night or so. The guy said, worked since early daybreak all day. Worked hard. Going to work the next day. But they always had time to fiddle a little bit and square dance or something like that. But Kenny Roth played this tune every night he ever went any place. And he was a crackerjack.
This is a Michigan Pioneer, which I first heard Francis Giles play, and that's a tune that he told me he learned from Harold Zimmerman. That's how I decided to contact you, was because of this tune.
I learned it from Bud Burley in Vanguard.
How long ago is this?
Oh, I'd say in about the earliest 30s, 30, 31, 32.
Yeah. Thank you. Another change that the popularity of contests brought to fiddling was in terms of repertory. As fiddlers would travel around the country and go from contest to contest, they'd hear some of the same pieces that they wouldn't have heard back home being played at the contest, and some of them were successful and seemed to keep winning. So as they heard these pieces over and over, they'd pick up new tunes for their repertory and tend to drop some of the old tunes from back home that didn't win for them at contests, though they might have been good dance numbers. One thing that I appreciate about Harold Zimmerman is that besides playing a lot of the good fancy contest pieces that he's learned recently, he also plays a lot of the old-time tunes that he learned as a boy around Ohio and Indiana. For example, the Jumpin' Toothache is a good tune that's not known too many places around the country. It seems to be played mostly in northern Indiana and up in Michigan. But another thing about contest fiddling is that today there is a lot of swing to it, a lot of jazz and improvising. And Harold Zimmerman got his introduction to swing, well, in an interesting way. When he was a young fella, he went to a town nearby his home in Convoy, Ohio, to spend a couple of weeks. And while he was there, he met some Hungarian immigrants who were migrant farm workers. And they played the fiddle in a swing style and taught Harold how to improvise and play with some swing in his fiddling. They taught him tunes like Sweet Georgia Brown.
I learned a couple tunes from them. Took a couple tunes I knew, and out you'd go, you know. I came back home, sat down. I had the fiddle, my brother had a banjo, my sister played the piano. Of course, after 2 weeks being gone, we were glad to get back together and play. You know, we love to play together. And sat down, I played a tune through and took off through the woods, so to speak. And my golly, Dad and Mom come in the parlor and they said, "Don't you ever try to play any tune like that. You play a tune like it's supposed to be played, and you play it just exactly like your Grandpa Niddle plays it. And don't you ever play it any other way. That's the only way you can play a fiddle tune." And, you know, at that time, I dropped it, but I still love that stuff, and I don't play a whole lot of it. Mm. If you want to hear an example of it, play Down Yonder.
All right. That is
uptown. There's good towns and bad towns.
What was it that you learned out there in the when you went up to Payne? from those guys. Do you remember?
And I don't know where they got that. I often wondered, because Jazz was just breaking through right then.
Where were they from?
Hungary, I guess. Huh. They worked in the beach. They lived in one of those little shacks on the wagon wheels, you know.
Yeah.
They hauled them from farm to farm. And the whole families lived in there. They were really fine, friendly, wonderful people.
Yeah.
They never any problems like stealing chickens or anything like that.
Going back to this thing about jazzing it up or playing it straight. Now, you've said a couple times that maybe the simpler the better on some tunes. Is that something you think about some tunes, that they're better off straight?
I really don't know. I think it depends on how you paint your own musical picture.
Yeah.
I think if you want to put yourself in the picture, you'll jazz it up. If you want to copy a picture and preserve it, you'll play it straight.
Yeah.
And I think if you wanted to play the old tunes for posterity, you'd play it straight and let anybody else jazz it up to their heart's content, you see?
Yeah.
In fact, I think it's very difficult to get these old tunes copied down like they were. I think we're guilty today, fiddling contests and everything. Even the way we judge, we take a fiddler up there. We don't judge him as a fiddler, we judge him more as a violinist. If his bow doesn't contact the strings quite right, a few things, he gets knocked down. An old-time fiddler can't win a contest hardly.
Listening to Indiana Hoedown, I'm Paul Tyler.